Okay, this is Eli Neshama of Yerachmiel ben Leib HaKohen. We'll do a short version. We're in that Mem Pei Mem Beis, about seven lines from the top. Amar Chizkiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishim Rishim Bar Yochai. Kol mitzvos kulon, ein adam yotzei behen, ela derech gedilasan. All mitzvos, at least all mitzvos that have in them some type of plant or tree that were part of the building of it, ein adam yotzei behen, ela derech gedilasan. You only yotzei the mitzvah if you have that plant or tree the way that that plant or tree grew. Meaning you have to make sure that there was a, let's say for example, he brings down a few examples, the beams by the Mizbeach, you had to put the beams in the crushing in the way that the actual plant, the tree grew. We know for us when we have our Lulav and Esrog, and the Dasam Rebels, you have to put them in a place that would be the direction that they grew in. How do we know? Shneemar Atzei Shitim Omdim. That the way that the Atzei Shitim would stand that direction, that's how you should place these things in the Mizbeach or in the Lulav Esrog set, etc. We're going to now bring up a number of other quotes.
How do we know from that to apply
It's a good question. Why is this the source? How do we get this from? If I was looking at it right now, I'd look up in the Torah Tamima, and when he quotes that line, to figure out why is that the drasha. I guess the reason why is that when it described the way you put it, it says you should stand up the Atzei Shitim. Why do you have to stand them up? Why can't you put it in a different direction? I guess Omeid meant the way that it was itself stood up. Why is there a necessity to do that? Just it's broken wood. Just put it wherever you want to put it. But I guess the Omdim was the part that we said, however it grows, how you should hold it. And we have a bright said as well, Tani Yamiyachi, we have a bright that backs this up as well. Teishitim Omdim, Sha'omdim Derech Dilasan. Again, it should be the way that it grew. Dabar Acher, another way of reading this line, Teishitim Omdim. Omdim Shema'amidim Es Sipuyon. Omdim means it should stand up, means that it should be the cause of the Tzipuy. What does Tzipuy mean? The coating. The coating should be stood up because of the wood itself. Rashi explains what it means is, you didn't put like stama coating right in front of it and have it like you picture you go into a amusement park and you sit, you put your head between, you know, in some sort of a pilgrim thing, you look like you're a pilgrim. It wasn't standing in front of the actual part of the Mishkan. It was actually coated and it was attached. According to Rashi, there were screws, there were golden screws that they were put in to keep it together as one with the beams and the kreshim. It didn't simply stand in front of it and kind of like hide it. It actually was attached to it with nails. Similarly, another brayso we have, Davar Acher, another way we learn out this halacha, Omdim, what does it mean? Omdim Shema Tomar Aved Sivram Ubatel Sikuyon. Perhaps you'll say that the Mishkan was something that was representing a lot of spiritual potential and growth in the world, and once it was destroyed, the base of Mishkan was destroyed, Aved Sivram Ubatel Sikuyon, that our Sivram, we said was last time, was what?
Hope.
Our hope was lost, and our chance, our dreams were batel, were ruined. Once these things are gone from the world, it's no longer here, so now the representative is gone as well. Talmud Lomar comes to teach us, it's not true. Atzei shitim omdim, she'omdim lo'olam olam yomim. What they represented is here, and it will be here forever. Again, we mentioned before, Ben was speaking earlier about his father. So we have this concept also when it comes to people. It says that that when you quote a person, when you talk about a person's deeds, or you quote their Torah, it says that they're svasayim or dosim bekever, that they move in the kever. A person's only not alive anymore when his values are no longer here. When people don't discuss him and his life and what he meant to them, they're not here anymore. But the representation of that person, as long as they have value that we continue to this day to talk about and pass on, and I'm sure what Ben said, we'll be certainly something that we'll tell over to our families as well, some of the things you mentioned. That certainly is something where the lesson lasts forever. And Atzei Shitim Adim, She'omdim Le'olam, Olam Elim, that it lasted forever. Again, we quote this line of Yerkes Chizkia, and Rishim Bar Yochai was something that we had seen above. So, coming up soon. So I'm able to, says Rishim Bar Yochai, I'm able to be poter the Kol Olam Kulo Min Hadin, Yom Shinivresi Ad Atta. From the time when I was created, I was born until today, if there was ever a situation of a question mark of din of people who are in trouble, I myself with my midos, my mitzvos, my connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I could save the world. Vilmali Eliezer b'ni imi, and if it were that Eliezer, my son, was with me as well, miyom shenivra olam yadachshav, I could go all the way back to the beginning of creation until today, and the two of us together, the tag team, the dynamic duo of us, we could save the entire world up until now. Vilmali Yosam ben Uziyo, and if I would add on, Yosef ben Uziel, according to Rashi, was this great, very humble king, whose father, when his father had Saras, who also was a king, so he took his stead, he took his place, and while he was there, he never acted like the king. He quoted his father for everything. He was very, very humble. He was the most humble king that was out there, according to Rashi. And if you would add him to us too, Imanu miyom shenivra olam ad sofo. You can take us until the end of days, and we would be able to milam tzchus on all of Klal Yisrael. Now, you may question. This sounds like a little bit of a lack of humility, maybe even borderline arrogance. So, just quote you a cute line in Masechet Sota. On the end of the last Amud of Sota, it says that the Gemara brings on some people who think that when Rebbe left the world, they left with Rebbe. So, one thing was humility. Humility, when this person passed away, humility is gone, also left. And one of the Rebbe said, "What do you mean? I'm still here.
Yosef.
You know, this, I'm here." Yosef said, "I'm here, so there's still humility here."
No.
Now, you imagine that would be the opposite of humility. No, it's still humility. Look at me. I'm still here. So, humility, I saw my Shabbat the other day, humility does not mean that you think that you're bad. You think that you're not worthy. It means that whatever worth you have, you recognize where it comes from. It comes from your family. It comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, who raised you. That's what humility means. You don't take credit for the gifts that God gives you. You can know you're very talented. You're allowed to know that you have a lot of abilities. Nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't necessarily go broadcast that. That may not be appropriate. But you're allowed to know about yourself who you really were. You just don't take credit for it. You know, you watch a baseball player hit a home run. Sorry for bringing it up. But they always they point out. A lot of them now point up. So, you know, I'm not sure if they mean to say, like, you know, to my father in heaven. I don't know if they mean to say my lost relative. I don't know what they're saying at all.
Manager in the box seat.
Exactly. Maybe that one. The agent probably. But you have other people. You should know other people who, when they score, they go like this sometimes. They turn around and they go like this. Point with their thumbs to their name on the back of their jersey. So I imagine the guys pointing up also believe, like, really it's me, but they feel bad pointing to that. So they point out. Maybe I do, that's true. Gives me a reason why I watch these things on me. That's why I'm able to watch these things. I try to find lessons for them. So that's the point. The point is that a humble person doesn't have to believe that he's a nobody. He knows that if you would be a great person, but he knows that everything I get is a gift from Akash Baruch Hu. It's all from Akash Baruch Hu. And he tells everyone that. Everything I have, I'm a...
You're a humble person, isn't that...
So not if you're not attributing... If you're not, that's the whole point. People ask the question. If you're not attributing the humility to, you know, I'm a great guy, but I want to talk about it. No, you say, everything I have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's humble. It is humble, and you're allowed to admit that you're humble. There's a story, I tell a story, Yechezkel Abramsky. I tell a story that one time, I think I wasn't from London or whatever. I think he was a leading... He's now based in London or in England somewhere.
London.
In London.
Outside the U.S.
A long time ago.
The United Kingdom.
Outside the U.S.
So one time he was called to the stand. Know the story? He was called to the stand one time, Rav Yechezkel Abramsky. He was called to the stand one time, and there's a big debate about some kashrus issue, and they called him as one of the leading, and they introduced him as the leading member of kashrus in the United Kingdom and in wherever it was,
in
all of Europe. So they say, so the judge, the barrister, the solicitor, that's called the barrister,
the judge.
One of them says to him, you know, when you want to introduce a witness, you know, is it true that you are the leading whatever? And he says, yes, I am, Your Honor. So the judge is like, hold up a second. You know, like, I know one thing about Jews, that you're supposed to be very humble and modest. What are you talking about? How can you possibly say this? So he says, listen, I'm under oath. What can I say? I'm under oath. You can know about yourself. You're allowed to know who you are. You don't have to, like, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. There's a cute story. I'm telling a lot of stories now, but it's a cute story. There's two schools of thought. There's the Slobodka and there's Nevardik. Slobodka was where you act like a prince. You tuck yourself in, you wear the finest of clothing. That's covered of a Jew. How lucky we are to be Jewish. Nevardik was the opposite. It was they'd roll around in the snow. They would beat themselves. They would act like they were nobody. They were zeros. So the guy one time, he goes to Nevardik Yeshiva, this guy, and he sees one of the older Bachrim, like this very respected person. He walks in front, like right before lunchtime. Everyone's waiting to leave. He walks in front of the Aron, and he throws up the floor. He's like, I'm a nothing. I'm a zero. I'm a low life. I'm a loser. You know, after like 30 seconds of this whole rant, he gets up, and the next day, his Chavrusa gets up there. This other guy's Chavrusa was a great person also. You know, I'm a worm, I'm a nothing, I'm a zero, etc. You know, 30 seconds. Next day, lunchtime comes, and there's no one else getting there. So this guy's like, you know, I've been here 3 days. Gets out there, I'm a worm, I'm a zero, I'm a loser. And the two guys go, look who thinks he's a worm all of a sudden. You know? Okay, so you have to know your place. You have to know, you know, when there's overdone humility, or when there's real humility. So over here, when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is talking about him and his son, and Yosef Ben Uzio, he's not Stam like...
By the way, he was a leading rabbi. And he got blind, and he lost all his learning.
Correct.
And afterwards, he got it back. So that's what. These
rabbis said they said that they were so great that they were able to save the world.
Had it been for them, they could have. Right, with their protection, what happened? A lot of things happened in the world. It's a good question. I guess it would mean that had they known in advance things were going to happen, I don't. I'm giving a guess right now. if they would have come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and done for certain things, they would have been able to protect. Maybe Hashem does things without people telling, knowing that, but it's a good question, actually, a very good question. I've seen people who are great, but there's not so much of them. If there's only 1,000 in the world, me and my son are among those 1,000. If there's only 100 in the world, then me and my son are 2 of those 100. If there's only 2 of them in the world, that is me and my son, we're the 2 that are these Bnei Aliyah. Umi Zutri Kuli, how says the Gemara, are there so few? Why are you saying if there are 1,000? As if that would be a lot. What do you mean? Vamar Rava says, Tami Sari Alfe Darahavi, the Kame Kuchabrichu. There are 18,000 rows of people that were in front of Kosh Baruch Hu, meaning in front implies that they were worthy of standing in among the Shekhinah. They were great people. Shneimar, it says, Dara, like a door. I thought it meant rose, but generation means? Is that what you said last time that you wrote?
You quoted rose last time.
Havidara.
Before the...
Havidara. 18,000... Look that up for you. Look it up. Shemar Saviv Shmona Esar Elef says that they were surrounding Hashem. There were 18,000. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, it's not a Kasha. Ha demisakli b'aspaklaria demi'ira. Ha demisakli b'aspaklaria demi'ira. There are those who are able to look at Hashem. Aspaklaria is like a divide. It's a mechitza. There are those who are close to Hashem. They have mechitza between them and Hashem, but their mechitza is like basically a see-through. Tar me'ira means they can see right through that mechitza. And there are those who, if you look over here in our mechitza over here, so it's a little bit darker. You can see a little bit, but it's a little bit darker. It's a little harder to see. Frosted. So it's a little difficult. So the 18,000, yeah, they could add mechitza, and mechitza was, you could see through, but it was a little difficult to see. But the 1,000 he was mentioning were people who could see mamish with great clarity. Says the Gemara, U'misakli v'aspaklarim et me'ira mizutri kulihai. Even those that could see so clearly, was it so few? Is only 2 potentially? Only he and his son? V'amar Abaye, or maybe even it was only 1,000? Abaye says, Lopachos alma mitlasim v'shisa tzadiki d'mekabli api shechina b'chol yom. The world has no less than at least 36 tzadikim, we say called lava, but tzadikim we call them, that are mekabli p'nei shechina every single day. They see p'nei shechina every single day. Shedemar ashko chochelo. Praise are those who are waiting low. Now, what does low mean? Low begvatria, lama begvatria. It's tlasim v'shisa havi. And therefore, we assume that the source lama tzadikim is from here. That's every day. Lama tzadikim. You say altogether only 1,000? Over the course of a year, there's more than that even. Says the Gemara, Lo kasha, hada ali bibar, hada ali below bar. There are those who go bar means with shuts, with permission. So those 36 a day, they need permission. Again, they get up there and they have a very clear vision of God's work, but they have to be invited up there. Get permission up there. But there are those who go up whenever they want, below bar, without rishos even. That's me and my son, would be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Eliezer.
I heard that it's not always the same 36 every day.
Is that true?
So any given day
could be anybody. Could be anybody.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Baruch Hashem. We should all be zochem. We'll finish a little more and then we'll stop. We mentioned in the Mishnah that when they would leave the Mizbech, what would they say? And we had two different recordings of what they would say. They would either say, I'll read to you inside what they would say. Either they would say, Yofi l'cham Mizbech, Yofi l'cham Mizbech. Or they would say, Laka u'lecha Mizbech, Laka u'lecha Mizbech. We're focusing on the second one. Laka to Hashem and to you, the Mizbech. They would give their parting words to Hashem, and when they leave, and to the Mizbech. Says the Gemara, how could they do that? Laka mishtatef, shem shamayim adabar acher. They're combining, they're partnering, they're joining together. They say Hashem and something else at the same time. How could you equate Hashem with something else together? The time within a bright. So called mishtatef, shem shamayim adabar acher. Nekam and Olu, whoever is going to equate shem shamayim with something else together at the same time, will be uprooted from the world.
Saying Hashem, Baruch Hashem for...
Yeah, but you're saying Baruch Hashem only for something else. But you can't say Baruch Hashem and you. L'cha u'l'cha b'zbech. You can't put the mizbech in the same tier as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't say, great to see you and you. Hashem deserves his own space. You can't put them together as if he's partnering with somebody else. Shemar, it says, Bilti la Hashem levado. It's only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem alone. This is Gemara Hachi Karmelay. This is what I meant to say. Anachnu modim ulecha anu mishabchin. Lecha anachnu modim ulecha anu mekalsim. We say to Hashem, you we are thanking, and separately we say to the mishbeach, we're praising you for being in Hashem's, in Hashem's good graces. And we say to you, Hashem, we are thanking, and to the mishbeach we praise again, which we're not putting them in the same tier at all. Lecha ulecha mishbeach. There's a separation between lecha and Lucha.
You said it's the last thing.
Okay, we'll stop over here. I did say it's true.